Well, boo. Hello, my friends. This is Mark Gladman, also known as Brother Frederick James, your friendly neighborhood Monk and Docs, and this is Monk on the Mic, the Monk and Docs podcast, episode 15. And I think I'm going to call this one Warts and All. Warts and All. I was going to call it Real, but I mean, both titles are fitting, and I think you'll work out why either of those would work, but Warts and All just sounds a bit more fun, particularly with the way we're going to be going today. It has been 5 months and 10 days since the last Monk on the Mic podcast, and the reason why I'm laughing is because episode 14 was called Whispers. And it's kind of like there was these whispers and then nothing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the nothing in a moment as we go. But just know that the nothing has been good and needed, necessary. So we'll talk about that as we go. To start with, I just want to share a beautiful little quote from St. Therese of Lisieux. I hope I've said Lisieux right. If you're French, let me know. St. Therese said, "The splendor of the rose and the whiteness of the lily do not rob the little violet of its scent, nor the daisy of its simple charm. If every tiny flower wanted to be a rose, spring would lose its loveliness." There is a lot in that, a lot. And to start to unpack that, I want to go back to 2006. And not many people know about this because I don't talk about it much, not because I'm embarrassed or ashamed of it or anything, but because I just haven't talked about it. For a season there, from around about 2006 to around about 2011, so about 5 years or so, I was a stand-up comic. And I toured parts of Australia doing stand-up comedy shows. And I was also had the pleasure of doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and the Adelaide Fringe Festival in that time as well. And I had a lot of fun. But the way that this happened was, in 2006, I had spent the previous, gosh, 10, 15 years or something in there, to maybe 12, 13 years, speaking as a speaker. I made a lot of my livelihood from speaking. Started off by doing things relatively free and for not much, but I did a lot of other things on the side around the speaking, because speaking wasn't completely paying the bills, but I was doing a lot of speaking all over the country and occasionally a couple of places overseas. And I had always messed with humor and comedy ever since I was a kid. I was that guy in high school as well, the funny one, or the try to be funny one. I was doing theater and music and all those sorts of things, always injecting humor into stuff. And in 2006, I decided that I wanted to use more of that. And so to do that, I thought I should learn how to do stand-up comedy really, really well. And that at that time, and I think it might still happen, but at that time, there was a stand-up comic here in Australia whose name is Robert Grayson. Shout out to Robert Grayson if he's listening to the podcast. And Robert Grayson ran this stand-up comedy workshop. It was an eight-week, I think, workshop where for the first 5 weeks, you worked on material and developed material and so on, and then in weeks, I think it was 6 or 7, you did a workshop, a one-on-one workshop with Rob to really hone on your material for the whole time that you were there. And I think it was an hour and a half session, and you really honed in on that. And then a couple of other classes where you continue to develop your material in class, and then a graduation show. And so I was doing this stand-up comedy workshop, and it was actually during this stand-up comedy workshop that a friend dared me to enter a new comic competition. I did. Shout out to Jason Ernest there. But I did enter, and I think I was in week 2 or 3 of the course, and I didn't win my heat, but I got a wild card to go to the wild card heat. And I was using the same material that I was generating in my class for the comedy competition, and the wild card heat was in a few weeks' time. Now, I won the wild card heat and suddenly found myself a finalist in the Cougar Bourbon New Comic of the Year 2006 or something like that. I think it was 2006. And I attribute winning that wild card heat to what happened in that one-on-one class with Robert Grayson. So I turn up to that one-on-one workshop with Robert with all the material that we'd been working on in class over the previous 6 weeks. It was one night a week for or 5 weeks at that point. And I rock up to the venue, and there's Robert, and he says, "Okay, let's hear your material and what you've done with it so far, and let's work on a couple of things." So I presented my set, and he looked at me and he said, "What was that?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? What was that? That was my set. You've heard my set many times before. This was my set." He said, No. "What was it at? As in, what were you?" And I'm like, what do you mean, Rob? I don't get what you mean." He says, "Okay. Let me be very honest with you." I said, "Yes, please do. I want to get better at this." He said, "It's not that you're pushing at me. It's not that you're projecting at me, but what I'm getting from you, I don't think is you. What I'm getting from you, Mark, is I'm getting a persona. I'm getting a wall. I'm getting some sort of some sort of barrier between you and me." And he said, "When you're doing comedy, can't be a barrier, because you need to be authentic. You need to be connecting. You need to be relating to people and sharing with them, and them and you with them." And he said, "When the barrier's up, the material just doesn't have a chance to get through. Your bits don't have a chance to get through if that barrier's up, because, and it's going to stop people from getting you and hearing you and laughing. It's going to stop that connection." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I thought I was just being who I am." And he said, "I think you were just being who you think you are. I don't think you were being you." And he said, "Tell you what, just stop for a moment. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the room for 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, this is what I want you to do. For the first 2, 3 minutes, I want you just to stop, and I want you to breathe. Nice big deep breaths. Forget about your set. Forget about being here. Forget about what I've just said. Forget about all that stuff. Forget about your day. Forget about what's coming up. Forget about, just be in the moment. Just breathe some deep breaths. And then in the last 2, 2.5 minutes, what I want you to do is I want you to literally let go, take off, drop, wipe away anything that's on you, figuratively, that would be stopping you from being truly who you are at the core of who you are." And then he left the room. And I remember taking about 2 breaths, and I started to cry. because I realized that what Robert had just told me had nothing to do with just my comedy set. But at the age of 33, what I realized was this is how I had been living most of my life. That I had been living in this persona of who somebody else wanted me to be, or expected me to be, or wanted me to say, or expected me to say, or wanted me to do, or expected me to do, and that I had now come to a place where, as I looked at myself, I began to question, well, who am I really? And what am I really about? That was probably the hardest 5 minutes of my life. And to finish the story, Robert came back and he said, "Okay, you doing okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm doing okay." And he said, "Do you need a moment to collect yourself?" He could see I'd been crying a little bit. I said, "No, I think I'm okay. I think I'm good." And so I did my set again. And he looked at me and he smiled. He said, "Right, now, that's better. That's better." He said, "You're still not 100% there, but I want you to keep working through this." He said, "In terms of your material, it's great. But if you can get this authenticity, this realness of who you are to come through," he said, you'll be fine. You'll do really, really well." I wonder what you think about when you hear the word saved. What do you think of? Because I'm going to be honest with you, on that night at the age of around about 33, I believe I was saved in the truly biblical sense of what it means to be saved. And what it means to be saved in a biblical sense is to find your wholeness and accept your wholeness and begin walking in your wholeness and your completeness. Because that day, I realized what I needed to do in order to fully find that wholeness that I needed. And I'm going to be honest with you and say that in the last 5 months and 10 days, I have been going through what I think might be some of the final phases of that process. Even though this is 17 years on from that moment. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to continue to happen and develop as I go through time. I think I'm going to continually fall into this thing of not being real and not being authentic and not being true. But and I'm going to keep, have to keep moving those things away. But there were some things in the last 5 months and 10 days that I've been away, where I've been working through really embracing this true authenticity and really embracing this being true to who I think I'm about and what I think I need to be. And as a result of that, how I think I need to live my life. I truly am coming into a place of wholeness, not just in the way of being, but also in the way of seeing, and also in the way of accepting and understanding myself, the world, and others. And so it's partly true when I say that I was saved in a empty or almost empty theatre warehouse by an Australian stand-up comedian. Because that was the start of that wholeness journey and that authenticity journey. But here's what I've really learned. This is the really important thing and the thing that I wanted to talk about here. This is why I wanted to call this episode Warts and All and not just Real. Because when we talk about being real and we talk about authenticity, we talk about, being real, being true to ourselves. We talk about things like speak your truth, and all this sort of thing. So there's this idea that there is something about who we are that we hold back, and we all know we do this for lots of different reasons, and some of them are about self-preservation, and might be necessary for a time, maybe, but I think we all can recognize that there are times when we just let it go on for far too long. And so there's this bit about accepting who we are and allowing that to shine through. Literally just a couple of days ago, I wrote an email to somebody in which I was completely authentic, and I let that truth that was in me come out, and it scared the living dickens out of me to send that email. But you know what? It was the most important thing I've ever done, because once I sent that email, I realized, all right, I have now lived into my truth. I have to own my truth now. I can't back out of this. And it wasn't that I, did anything wrong in sending that email and what I said in that email, but I know it's going to upset some people at the other end of that email. But it's only going to upset them because I've spoken truth from where I sit and let them know what that has made me feel like. And I don't know what they're going to do with that. I don't even know if they will respond. But the point is that I lived into it, and I moved through it. And so that's all important. I think that's really necessary. But there are some parts of being true and authentic and real that are also necessary. And that's where the warts and all comes in. Because when we accept truly who we are, we're going to see some things that we haven't liked. Now, I want to make it really clear. These aren't the things that we haven't liked or don't like because they're bad character traits, right? I think all of us are in the process of change and transformation as we become better people, and I'm not saying we resist that just to be true to self. Right? I don't think that's true to who we are, particularly when we recognize that those things aren't the best for being truly human. In who we are. However, there are other things that we look at, and we look at as being, we look at them in a lesser way. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Look at them in a lesser way, because what we've done is we have compared ourselves to other people. And so we see these particular things that we do, or we say, or we think, or we feel, or we have, or the way that we want to go about doing something. And our response is, oh, I need to repress that or push that away or stop doing that. Because what we're doing is comparing ourselves to other people and going, well, that's not the way they do it. And again, I'm not talking about that we can't see other people as models of sorts that help us find where we sit in the scheme of things. But if we're pushing away a true part of ourselves simply because we're trying to do it like somebody else, then there's a problem. And so this warts and all idea is this idea of fully accepting who we are, even the bits that aren't pretty, even the bits that aren't wonderful, even the bits that may not work from time to time, that all those things are important and all those things matter and all those things are a part, an important part of who and what we're meant to be. And so in being truly authentic and letting these things go and letting those walls down so that we can truly live how we're meant to live, we have to accept not just the things that we are, but we also have to accept the things that we aren't. I'm not good at this, or I can't do that. And we have to accept that, and not just accept it and go, oh, well, that's just a pain in the neck. Be happy about that. Be happy because we don't have to try and be something that we're not, or somebody that we're not. We don't have to try to attain some skill that we're never going to be able to attain. We can let those things go and just live into the best bit about who we are. One of the most powerful books I ever read, and I can't remember the name of the author, but he wrote a couple of books. He was an organizational psychologist, leadership specialist, that sort of thing. And his book was called Let's Discover Your Strengths. And his thesis was this: we spend so much time looking at the things that we're not good at and saying, I need to get better at that so I can bring all my strengths up to scratch. And if you've ever done some sort of strengths and weaknesses based thing, you'll know that, you look at your strengths and then you find your weaknesses. And the idea is to work on your weaknesses to raise them up to the level of your strengths. This guy said, nah, nah. He said, find your strengths and work on them. Find your weaknesses and let them go. If they're important to achieving what it is you want to achieve, find other people with those strengths to complement your strengths and do it together. Now, we could unpack that for ages too, but wow, how does that sound in terms of how we're supposed to live as human beings in the world? That it's not about getting forward and getting ahead and building bigger and getting higher and whatever else. It's actually about doing things together and making a difference with one another, alongside each other, working together, hand in hand, my strengths, your strengths, our strengths together. This just sounds like it comes straight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about the body and how, the nose shouldn't want to be the foot and the heart shouldn't want to be the ear, because each has its part and each works together to do its bit. And yeah, some bits are more prominent, more visible, and more important than others. If the heart stopped beating, everything dies. If I lose my little toe, I'm not going to die. But the little toe still has that thing of keeping us balanced and keeping us upright. And it's just as important, has their game to play. But, to sit around and go, well, I need to learn to beat. So I'm going to practice beating blood around. And I know I can hold this body without falling over. This is little toe speaking, by the way. And I can keep this human being upright, but I need to practice, beating blood around the body so I can be as good as the heart. No. Be you. Be you. Let those strengths shine through. Embrace that. And accept who you are, warts and all. All the things that you're not good at, can't do, can't achieve, will never be able to impress with. Accept it and be happy. And build and grow and fall in love with your strengths. I think this was the important part of Robert's lesson to me, that in learning to let go of those things, some of those things I put up myself, because I thought if I'm going to be successful, I have to look like this person, that thing, achieve this, that, or the other. And now I'm kind of like, I can just be me and do things my way and do the very best with what I'm really, really good at. Let's focus on that. Let's build that. Let's shift that. And let's just, and that's so freeing. There's a freedom that comes in that. And quite honestly, if you have a look really closely at the teachings of Jesus, this is exactly what we see. We see Jesus teaching people basically to embrace who they are and live free. Discover their authentic person, accept themselves warts and all. Remember, this is not about holding on to the bad things. We let go of the bad things. We change, we're transformed in those. But we embrace everything of who we are in every possible way, and we go from there. So it's accepting who we are, but it's also accepting who we aren't. It's accepting what we have, but it's also accepting what we don't have. It's not just becoming truly real, it's then living into it and allowing it to shine through in everything we do. I'll give you another example from my life that I've picked up in the last 5 months or so. It's been very important to me to learn how to slow my pace, to slow down. I've spent most of my life either rushing or doing so many things that I've never had the chance to stop. Being a monastic has helped with that. I keep the prayer offices through the day, and they keep me accountable to stopping for a period of time. But I've also realized that even in the way that I work, when I'm doing my work, I have a tendency to just push. I give people time. I don't push through and try to rush things in that sense, but once I'm done that, I'm into the next thing, the next person. There's no gaps in between. There's no chance to process. There's no chance to truly live and sit and be. And I said to myself, I'm going to work in a way that embraces those things. And I notice when this is only a relatively new thing, and I notice when it's slipping out. And right now, I notice that I need to be a little bit more careful about this. Real at the moment, I really do. But I'm learning how to pace at a more sustainable rate, and that's important. And not rushing, and not being held to KPIs and not being held to those things. Not that those things aren't something you work towards, but I'm going to look after myself along the way. I'm not going to bust a boiler or blow a puffle valve, as my dad used to say, just trying to get to that place. I'm going to be authentic about who I need to be and how I need to live and the sustainability with which I walk. Warts and all, we need to accept ourselves. And, I think Teresa had a very important thing to say here, because I think it's the act of comparison that helps us fall into the inauthenticity trap. And in the comparisons, trying to be more like somebody else than just accepting who we are. But I think the beautiful thing is that in God's world, everything belongs. There's a place for everything, the warts and everything. It all goes together to create one big, beautiful picture. And everything depends on who we are and us as the observer. It's all relative, it's all subjective. There's so much variation in the definitions that we have about things. But if we turn our hearts to be more in tune with this God of the universe and start to see as this God of the universe sees, what we'd see is that everything, everyone, every person is needed, has a purpose, has a place, that the beauty of one thing doesn't take away from the beauty of another, that no person, action, or thing is any more or less than any of the others, or as Teresa put it, that the spring needs all of the flowers. And you need all of your authenticity. And when you bring that to the table with everybody else living into their authenticity, we create a beautiful garden. Saint Therese also said, our Lord does not look so much at the greatness of our actions, nor even at their difficulty, but at the love with which we do them. I really believe God cares very little for the externals, but cares more about what's within. And how we embrace that, because when we get that right, the externals come, right? It's not that the rose is splendid and the lily's white and the violet smells divine and the daisy's charming. It's that all of them bloom and blossom as they were created to do so. How were you created to be? How were you created to do? My friend, that's what you need to learn to do. Learn to blossom where you are with what you have in the way that you were created. Let the barriers down. Let the walls drop away. Let the personas die. And let you, the beautiful things, the bad things, the warts and all, shine forth with love from your heart in a way that you'll be able to share who you truly are with those that you meet. And that, my friend, is when you're going to start making a difference. And may grace, peace, and love go with you every step of the way, this day and every day. Peace be with you, my friends. It's good to be back. We'll see you on a new episode very, very soon. Until then, bye for now. Peace be with you.